I'd like to welcome everyone to the March 28th, 2024 meeting of the City of Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals. This is a quasi-judicial proceeding. All those wishing to give testimony during these proceedings will please sign in. Witnesses will be sworn in prior to giving testimony. All proceedings of the Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals are recorded. Decisions of the ZBA are final. Challenges to decisions of the Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals must be filed through the Superior Court of Chatham County. If you have any cell phones or noise-making devices, please silence them at this time. And will you please stand and join me in the prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance? Father, we just thank you for time to come together and to do the business of this city. Lord, thank you for the privilege of living here. Father, ask your blessings on these proceedings. Give us wisdom. Help us to make right decisions. Father, raise up godly men and women to fill every place of authority in our city and our county. Lord, bless the marriages and families of Savannah and Chatham County. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right.
Okay. Let's see, are there any, there don't look to be any items requested to be removed from the final agenda. Approval of the minutes for the February 22nd, 2024 meeting. Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes?
Motion to approve the minutes.
All right. Mr. Plunk has made a motion to approve the minutes. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Jones. Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
All right, motion passes and the minutes are approved. Do I hear a motion to approve the final agenda as you see it before you?
Motion to approve the final agenda as written.
All right, Mr. Plunk has made a motion to approve the final agenda. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Condon. Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Okay. Before we begin, if you're going to speak or give testimony here today, will you please stand and we're going to swear in. Just raise your right hand and repeat after me. I do solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help me God. Thank you. All right, first we're going to hear the petition of the Pilot Travel Center signed variances, 110 Crossroads Parkway, 24-000152.
Morning, Mr. Chair, board members. I'm back from the Hotel Service.
Oh, there we go. Let's try it again. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, board members. I am Brad Clement from Development Services at the MPC. The case before us is a variance request for a subject property located at 110 Crossroads Parkway. That's the intersector street. It's actually at the corner of I-95 and Jimmy DeLoach. It gives you a better, let me pull this up. There we go. Subject parcel kind of orients you to where they're going. The current zoning is BC, community business. Now, proposed future zoning is light industrial. All the adjacent properties are zoned in like kind. The sections of the ordinance we'll be talking about today are 9911, 992, and 993. And it all relates to signage. The petitioner's nature of business, it's a fuel station. It's a pilot gas station with a food vendor on premises. This development would have gone through a DRI because of the number of diesel pumps associated with it. So it's a well-known and planned development. The location of the parcel has some distinct advantages and disadvantages due to the topography of the parcel. As it is adjacent to the interstate highway, it is at a lower level than the road surface of both Jimmy DeLoach and the approaching I-95 traffic, which is the nature of one of the requests. So as it relates to sign A, I believe per your exhibits, you have a copy of the signage plan. Sign A is the pylon type sign that you would see from the roadway. They are asking an additional 20 feet in additional height of that sign. The rationale for that is to overcome the topography. The land where the sign will actually sit is lower than the adjacent land. 20 feet makes sense. It's a reasonable ask and accommodation. However, they're also asking for an increase in total sign area. Sign B, are monument signs. The signs with gas prices, tenant locations to identify the food vendor and the nature of the business. They're asking for a variance there to increase the total height and sign area of those as well. Sign D is the sign for the food vendor itself, the drive-through sign that you would see as you're approaching the drive-through to make a food purchase order. They're asking for an increase in that. Gas pump canopy signs, the signs around the canopy over the fuel pump, maximum allowable is 2. They're asking for 4 on both the diesel pumps and the regular gas pumps. So all in all, they're asking for several variances to accommodate just about every measurable aspect of their signage plan. Bigger, taller, in all measurable fashion. So, general consistency. The variance shall be consistent with the intent of the ordinance and comprehensive plan, shall not be injurious to the neighbor. This is all commercial business and it's going to be industrial. So I think the answer is no. Special conditions. Special conditions and or circumstances exist which are peculiar to the land, buildings, and structure involved. They are the lot, as mentioned, sits at a lower grade than the adjacent road, thus causing reasonable ask to raise or elevate the height of the sign. Special conditions and or circumstances do not result from actions of the applicant. That is true, except for asks for larger than allowable signs. Special conditions and or circumstances are not purely financial in nature, so as it will allow the applicant to use land, buildings, or structures involved more profitably or to save money. The applicant would benefit from the requested variances if approved because it increases the signable area. There's a direct commercial relationship to that ask. Literal interpretation of the provisions of the regulations would deprive the applicant of rights commonly enjoyed by other properties in the same zoning district. We find none. The minimum variance, if granted, the minimum variance necessary to make the possible reasonable use of land, buildings, or structures. While we do not find the ask to be egregious, they are excessive as they exceed the measurable area, height, and allowable number of signs in every measurable aspect. Skip ahead to staff recommendations. Based upon the variance criteria that I just read you, staff recommends approval of a requested variance as it relates to sign A for an additional 20 feet in overall height of the sign for the reasons noted, or for an additional 180 square feet in sign area. So if it's taller or larger, it overcomes the burden presented by the grade of the land. Both is in excess of what is required. Staff recommends the variance as it relates to sign B. Because it is addressed on Crossroads Parkway and not Jimmy DeLoach or I-95, the sign, the monument signs that display gas prices and the like, for the ease of drivers to identify the vision and price of gas, it seems reasonable. Staff does recommend the denial of the request to increase the drive-through sign. The petitioner's rationale for that is because they indicate that's the size of the sign that the food vendor makes. That's the smallest sign available. Staff found no indication that that's the case. and with the condition that if evidence is presented after this to the nature of that, the limitation on size, that the board gives staff the ability to approve that in the presence of that exhibit. Pending your questions.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions for staff? And would the applicant please come forward and state your name for the record? Is the applicant not present?
Unless they're online. So,
is there anyone online?
There are several people online, but no one is raising their hand, so.
Mr. McCosh, if you're online, please use the raise your hand feature.
No, sir.
Mrs. Jarrett?
Move to continue this until the next regular meeting. Yeah.
Mrs. Jarrett has made a motion to continue this petition to the next regular meeting. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Jones. Is there any discussion on the motion? Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
All right, the motion passes and this request is continued until the next regular meeting. Next, we're going to hear the reestablishment of a non-conforming use, 1201 East 56th Street, 23-005658.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board, Edward Morrow, Director of Development Services. This is a request from Anthony Wayne Noah and Kimberly Bowen to reestablish a non-conforming use at 1201 East 56th Street. At this time, I'd like to enter the staff report into the record. This is a petition that was previously heard by this board at the end of last year for the purpose of reconsidering the reestablishment of a non-conforming use on this parcel. And at that time, it was understood by staff that this request was to reestablish a non-conforming landscaping business. It is residentially zoned. Just to share with you the parcel kind of map here with the zoning line, you can see the parcel here outlined in black. This red line that you see is actually the TC2 zoning line. So across the street, there is some commercial use that I will say at this point. Given that it is outdoor storage, it does appear to look a little bit more industrial, unfortunately. Nonetheless, the idea is that at some point since 1981, this evolved into something that began to look commercial. The structure was slightly modified, but at the point that the zoning map was readopted, it did retain a residential zoning. So this is a residential single-family zoned parcel. And the structure has been slightly modified to reflect the fact that it has commercial modifications. And so today what I hope to accomplish is that we would kind of reconsider this in light of the fact that perhaps there was an error in understanding and reclassify the given use or the requested use as something that is commercial in nature, but only to the extent that it's really an office. It's kind of a slightly expanded office type use with some large outdoor storage spaces. Accessory storage spaces that have been constructed, extending from the original dwelling and adjacent to the original dwelling within the yard. So, that is the zoning map. You can see here, these are permitted uses within the RSF5 zoning district. And I would say that this seems to have been kind of a home occupation type use that might have sort of outgrown itself. I would put you in that mindset as you evaluate this. You can see nowhere in this zoning district does it allow things that are more or less commercial in nature, if that makes sense. We have some notes here with regard to the actual additions and expansions themselves and the fact that the use fell out of continuous use back in 2021 during the time that it was being rehabbed. It was being improved, and at that time, a business license was not able to be obtained. You can see that this is the residence itself with those additions there. And from the street, you can also see some additional accessory structures that have been added here through this gate. Staff did take time to actually observe the site. So again, our recommendation is with this mindset that this is going to be a largely office type use that will have some storage to occur only in the presently constructed accessory structures. Things should not be stored in an outdoor manner, even though screening should be provided. And so you can see back in 2022, this is what the street view looked like with those doors off of the front. And this is March of 2024. In going down the lane, you can see that there is a clear fence that is kind of on the backside. And so if you're looking into the property from the back, you are able to see that there is a little bit of outdoor storage. But again, this is view from the public right of way of things that are interior to the parcel. As I mentioned earlier, these are those outdoor storage type elements that are across the street in the actual TC2 zoning district. So just to give you some context on where this is happening. Staff does recommend approval of the requested variance to reestablish this nonconforming use with the following conditions: that it shall be an office use with that storage only to occur within the existing accessory structures, no future expansion of the existing structures or significant modification except with the intent that this be returned to the use of the present zoning district, which is residential single family, and finally that the site should be adequately screened to obscure the view of any of the site's contents from any public rights of way. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Are there any questions for staff? None. Thank you. Would the applicant please come forward and state your name for the record?
Anthony Wayne Noah for Everett Bowen. I believe there was a misunderstanding last time I was in front of you. We wanted just an office space. I specified landscape because that's who was renting the space at the time. We don't want to change the property in any way. Went out to the property last week, and I have a video I can show you, and it was the last photo, the rear of the structure. I met with the neighbor. He was very pleased with the neighbor. I said, "Do you have any problems?" He said, "Absolutely not." He did ask me if we'd take down two little small trees that were growing in the fence. I told him absolutely. And as soon as those trees are down, we are ordering the mesh, and that back fence will be covered to obscure any site inside the backyard.
Thank you.
But no changes are, we're not requesting any change to what it's been since 1981.
Any questions for the applicant? Go ahead, Mr. Jared.
The mesh that you're putting on the fence, is it going to be fastened at the bottom?
Yes.
Is there going to be a way to assure that it stays fastened at the bottom and doesn't flap around in the wind?
I will do my best to make sure that happens.
Thank you. We have that in my neighborhood. And
no, that'll be something on our radar that we'll keep up with.
All right. Thank you.
I'm sure you'll remind me.
Yes.
Mr. Condon.
Good morning. Along with what Ms. Jarrett had to say, you might look into the stuff that slides into the fence, if you know what I mean, like a weave.
Can we?
If
you look at this picture right here, there's probably about four large trees
that are in the fence,
or 2 foot in, grown into the fence. We could do our best to do that, but I think it would be more effective and if we put that tarp-looking mesh. I'm not even sure what
you call it. As long as it doesn't become a sail.
No, it will not become a sail. Now we'll visit the neighbor again, and if I'll have him make sure he can give us a call if that becomes a problem. But I'll check on it often.
Any more questions for the petitioner? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Are there any members of the public that would like to speak concerning this petition? You will raise your hand, and if you're online, use the raise your hand feature. We'll recognize you. All right. Hearing none, we'll enter into board discussion. Mr. Turner, do you have anything you'd like to say?
No.
Mr. Condon?
Not at this time, sir.
Mrs. Jared?
No, thank you.
Mr. Clunt? Mrs.
No.
Jones?
No.
Would someone like to make a motion?
I motion that we approve.
All right. Mr. Turner has made a motion to approve the petition to reestablish the nonconforming use. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Jones. Oh, excuse me.
Can I modify that? Can I motion to approve with the restrictions?
What restrictions?
Recommended by staff.
Okay. So to clarify, Mr. Turner's motion is to approve the reestablishment of a nonconforming use with staff's recommended conditions. Mrs. Jones, do you still second that?
I still second.
And it's that seconded by Mrs. Jones. Is there any discussion on the motion? All right. Mr. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
All right, the motion passes, and the reestablishment is approved with conditions. Next, we're going to hear the side yard or the side setback variance, 823 Joe Street, 24-001082.
Good morning again, Mr. Chair, members of the board. This is Edward Morrow. This petition for from Damon Milton at 823 Joe Street was previously heard by this board at the January meeting, the January regularly scheduled meeting. And in essence, what had happened in the initial petition was that the foundation of a particular home had been laid in a slanted matter, which meant that the home was not conforming with the required setbacks of the zoning district. And so at that time, MPC staff recommended approval of a variance to give relief for this after-the-fact variance. The board granted approval. In the course of that approval, a condition was added by the board at the request of an adjoining neighbor that the HVAC mechanical unit be placed at the rear of the subject property. During the public hearing, I sat next to the petitioner. I asked him if he was okay with the condition. I'm not quite sure if he understood, but nonetheless, we are here to once again kind of reevaluate this requirement that was placed by the board at that time, that the HVAC mechanical not sit within the 3-foot side setback of the home and that it be required to be placed at the rear of the home. What was not discussed during that petition was the fact that there is a requirement of the zoning ordinance that mechanicals or any other, there are a number of things that are not structured, but they are extensions of the structure itself that may not be placed within 3 feet of the side yard. This is a completely separate ordinance provision within the measurement section. And so in essence, we determined from the petitioner that the equipment itself is about 3 feet wide, and there is, as was approved, only 3 feet between the property line and the house itself. So ultimately, the petitioner's request is that the condition be removed, but underneath that condition is this underlying requirement that this simply can't be placed there in and of itself. And so with that, I'd like to enter the staff report into the record. For some additional background, this is the home itself that is already built. HVAC mechanicals have not yet been placed, but at the time of the previous hearing, the home itself had been built. So it was after the fact. This is not an after the fact request. This diagram again is showing the side setback that is in question. This is actually from the building plans that were approved, which a site plan would not actually show mechanicals. So this is not something we would have seen previously. But this is the area in which it cannot be placed based on that underlying regulation. It would be required to sit here at this location approximately. With that, MPC staff does recommend denial of the requested variance. And also, I would like to add to that another item. The eaves extend into this space that was not permitted for them to encroach into, and I'd like to raise that particular point for the board to address. And we do recommend approval of relief for the eaves. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for staff? Thank you. Would the petitioner please come forward?
How you doing?
Please state your name for the record, sir.
Damon Milton.
Well, would you like to say anything?
Yes, I got a question. What is the actual reason it can't go on, the side I want it to go on?
Billy, you want to answer, Mr. Connie?
Yeah. There's a requirement that none of your mechanicals be in the side setback. The house actually sits in the side setback itself, so you're getting a variance to allow that because of the mistake that they made in the foundation. John, would you want to handle this specifically?
Yeah, side setbacks are essentially to prevent development on one person's property from creating an impact on a neighboring property, either visually or through the prevention of light and air from passing between the properties. So it's really a matter of quality of life for all the property owners. And then with the encroachments that are allowed within the zoning ordinance for things like porches, mechanical equipment, stoops, there is some leeway that's granted for those things because there's an expectation that they will extend from the central portion of the structure of a home. But there are limitations on that as well. And again, for the same reasons. And that is probably more oriented towards how are those things going to be maintained? So how are you going to maintain a piece of mechanical equipment, a stoop, a porch without entering your neighbor's property? And so to avoid potential conflicts of someone trespassing on someone else's property or having to negotiate some kind of private agreement to use their property every time they want to maintain something, it's better to just prevent those conflicts or, transaction costs in the first place by requiring space between the developments.
Okay, but I got a question. Did that require, because the setback was, I only needed it was near the front of the house. Like I said, last time the lot is a slanted lot and my architect, I sent an email to Mr. Morrow and he stated that the lot is slanted. That whole side is not where I needed the variance at. Even the mechanical system, the way it's going to be at, it's 3 feet. It's actually a little bit more. Mr. Morrow said I could have put it on the opposite side because it was enough room. The AC system would have sat on the property line regardless of if it sat on the other side too. But where the mechanicals is going to go at is 3 feet. But as you go up, I start losing my feet because of the slanted lot. I only needed the variance in the front part of the house. It was the 1.3. Where the AC system is going to go at, it shows on a variance on the opposite side, 3.0. On that opposite side, it's the same 3.0 where it's going to go at. And this is already approved by the city. And he said, I don't know how after variance work, after the fact variance, but the actual, the lines has already been installed. The city already came and approved that, but the actual system is not out there, but the wiring, the copper lines and everything is out there, but it's 3 feet right there. So y'all saying I need 3 feet on that whole side completely or in the area where the units go sit at because it's I need 6 feet. I need 6 feet. Mm-hmm. Okay. But when I can't understand if they got approved by the city, that the mechanical's got to be 3 feet. Why would I need 6?
Mr. Morrow, the 3 feet starts counting from where the equipment is to the property line, correct? Not necessarily where the building is to the property line. So whatever is yours, where it ends, you've still got to have the 3 feet to the property line. And if your building is on the 3 foot line, your mechanical, whatever else you put out there, is encroaching into that 3 feet.
But why would it work on the other side, though?
What mechanicals are you putting on the other side?
I got an email from Mr. Morris. He said I could put it. He said where the red line was at, I couldn't put it there, but I could put it on the opposite side of the church.
Just for clarification, this is the diagram in the email that he's referencing. I could have easily put the same thing over here, but again, because this is where we were discussing installing it, that's why it went here. It has to go on the opposite side of this line, not the opposite side of this line. It has to go here, opposite side of the red line.
So it couldn't go on the opposite side neither?
No, because there's 3 feet on either side. There's only 3 feet. You need 6 feet here, 6 feet here for that to work on either side.
Okay, I don't understand that because it said it was approved by the city. And another thing, what about putting the smaller units that sit on the house that's about 2 feet? Would that work? The ones that sit on the house, the smaller AC units?
They can't.
It's flat.
It really depends on whether they'll encroach into the 3 foot setback. But as I understand it, according to this diagram, your house sits on the 3 foot setback.
not where it's actually at, not at the end of the, towards the end of the house. It doesn't.
If any portion of the house sits on the setback, whether it be the front, the back, the side, it's immaterial, the overhang, it sits on the setback.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Does it matter if you that whole side was?
The city depends on the contractor to place the house where it's supposed to be placed. Mm-hmm. And so your contractor made a mistake and he placed the house in the wrong place on the lot. And this is what's created this problem for you. If the house was sitting where it was supposed to be, where the city approved it to be sitting, we wouldn't be talking about this today. Let me ask you another question. What's wrong with putting the air conditioning units behind the house?
It's as a patio. We discussed last time. The house wasn't designed for that. It's a patio on the, you can't put a AC on the patio.
Sure you can.
On the patio? Sure. Wow.
Or beyond the patio.
Yeah. That would be dangerous. But, okay, I gotta, so I'm gonna deal with it. I'm not gonna worry about it though, but you can't put an AC on the patio. All right, thank you.
Any questions for the petitioner? Do any of y'all have any questions? Are there any members of the public that would like to speak? If you're online, use the raise your hand feature.
There's Jessica Brown online raising the hand. I'll be unmuting her.
Jessica Brown. Mrs. Brown, would you like to say something?
Yes, I would. My family lives in Jolene, and I think some of my questions were answered during the discussion, but that was one of the concerns that I had. I believe it was said that the property is beginning to encroach into the surrounding areas, and I just didn't understand that part of it. Is it already on the property line? Will it be approved to go over? I just didn't quite understand that part about it encroaching.
And you say you got that clarified during the discussion, or do you want some more clarification on it?
I would like more clarification. I think I'm coming from the perspective of 830 Jolene, which is on the opposite side of the home. And I just wanted to understand how much clearance was going to be at the rear of the home.
Mr. Morrow, can you address that?
Yes, sir. Okay. So the house is wholly contained within the property lines. There's no structure itself that is actually encroaching. The things that we're talking about are required setbacks, in essence. The initial variance was because this particular corner of the home, I believe, sits 1.7 feet from the property line, where 3 feet were required. And so what Mr. Milton was kind of explaining was that there is a slant so that as you come back, this rear portion of the home actually sits just over 3 feet because it is slanted. Nonetheless, the entire structure is within the boundaries of the property itself. Everything we're discussing is just spaces where things are not supposed to be located. Rear setback of the property, the structure itself, is going to be this 49.3 feet from the edge of the concrete patio that's indicated. And so it is well in excess of the required setback for the structure.
Mrs. Brown, does that answer your question?
It does. And I do have one more question, which kind of stemmed, I guess, from the conversation about putting the unit on the patio. Is it possible for a residential, I mean, it's commercial property, so I'm not sure if it's the same, to build somewhat of a platform so it's not necessarily on the ground, but it's still at the rear of the home?
If there were flood concerns, that might be a conversation that we're having, but I don't believe that this particular property is subject to any of those concerns.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment? Is anyone else online? All right, well, Mr. Milton, ma'am, you want to say something? Please come forward to the podium and state your name.
My name is Viola Polite, and I live at 829. I live right next door. And I'm the one that raised the concern about the AFAX being put on the side of the house because it was already on, adjacent to my property line. And they told me that my property line was crooked. But according to my deed, my property line is not crooked. But according to the paper that they have from their surveyor, my property line is crooked. And what they're trying to say is that, to me now, they say to me that I was encroaching on their property. But when I look at the map from, because I purchased this property back in 68. And it's the first sketch that I had from the surveyor was my property line was scraped back. The reason is their property have 1 foot from my property line. And there is 2 feet, which is a total of 3 feet there, because there were an issue of telephone poles back in the day. So the telephone pole sits on between my property and his property, and it's 3 feet there, but the 2 feet are there for the convenience of telephone pole at that time. So the telephone pole really sits almost in about midway of my back, adjacent to Joe Lane. And that's what sit between my house and his house. But 2 feet of that property, which he's talking about 3 feet, is mine and 1 foot is his. And that's what the whole issue was in the first place, was he thought he could put HVAC back there on the side. So if he put it on the side, that's like on my property. And that's the issue. And I told him we might have not had an issue because I might be, you know, you could be sell him that space he needed. But he never talked to me. Only time I see him is when we come to court. So he's not a good neighbor starting from out the gate. And see, I'm from the country. And my neighbor, you good morning. How you doing? What can I do to help you? These neighbors, I don't even see them. They're like flies on the wall. You hear them out there working, but you don't see them. And when I walked over there and I told his workers I wanted to have a conversation, I never saw him. Only time I saw him was when I come to court. And then he's upset. And I don't understand. If you want something from me, if you want, he needs that property, he says. If you need it, have a conversation. Because that's my side yard. I bought that property, that's my side yard. It's not nothing out there, but when my family was all home, we had picnics and stuff on the yard. So why not have a conversation? You know you need this property. So have a conversation. That's all. And we wouldn't have to be here doing this. But since you don't have a conversation and it don't make sense, I'm sorry, but that's the way it is.
Thank you.
And from what I can understand, that's the way it's going to stay because we refuse to have a conversation. Thank you for
Thank
the
you,
time.
Ma'am. Is there any other public comment? Did I see any other hands out here? And no raising, nobody online? All right. Well, Mr. Milton's not here to refute public comment or rebut. Mrs. Jones, do you have anything you'd like to say?
I sure don't.
Mr. Blunt?
No, sir.
Mrs. Jarrett?
No, thank you.
Mr. Condon?
No, sir.
Mr. Turner?
No.
All right, would someone like to make a motion?
I'd like to make a motion that we accept staff recommendation, deny the request for the side yard relief for the air conditioning unit, and approve the request for the side yard encroachment for the eaves that's built.
Second.
Mr. Condon has made a motion to deny the request for relief from the side yard setback variance and approval for the relief for the encroachment of the eaves. It's been seconded by Mr. Plunk. Is there any discussion on the motion? All right, Mrs. Jones, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mrs. Jarrett?
Yes.
All right, motion passes, and the request is denied. Next, we're going to hear the accessory dwelling unit minimum lot area variance for 114 East 55th Street, 23-005972.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, Edward Morrow again. This is a request to establish an accessory dwelling unit at 114 East 55th Street. This is a petition that actually was submitted to staff back in December. But being one of the first ones, I think it's important that I note any time that we have a request to establish an ADU for a property that is within one of our conservation districts, it first requires that HPC give that petition a look. The scope of the HPC with regard to conservation districts has to do with demolition. So any demolition of a contributing structure is something that would have to be approved by the HPC first. And so you can always expect a recommendation from the HPC as to whether or not, you know, moving forward with the variance request for the ADU is appropriate. And so in this case, we have, in fact, finally received that recommendation. There is to be no historic demolition, in essence. And so we are clear to review this, in essence, on the part of the ZBA. So with that, the petitioner is requesting a variance to the minimum 125% lot area to establish an ADU within the RSF6 zoning district. The parcel is a conforming lot within the RSF6 zoning district, but it does not have the requisite 125%, which would be 7,500 square feet in order to establish an ADU without any action on the part of this board. And I'm sorry, before I forget, I'd like to enter the staff report into the record. The subject property you can see here on the screen outlined in green. And this is actually a proposal to what we said initially was to extend an existing carport that was constructed, I believe, along with the home back in 1955. The home itself has 3,584 square feet. Upon looking at it, we determined that it is unlikely that you would actually extend this structure just because structurally it can't support a dwelling on top. And so we have been careful to ensure that the petitioner understands that there can be no loss of the existing parking spaces for this quadruplex apartment that's existing. And there has even been mentioned the possibility that one additional parking space could be required. So I'd just like to state that along with the facts. Again, for the record, there are two-bedroom units that are within this quadruplex, and there are two one-bedroom units. So it's kind of a unit mixture even within the same building. And the proposal is to actually add one additional ADU, which cannot be in excess of 40% of the principal dwelling or 700 square feet in total. Of the criteria, one that I would like to note, literal interpretation might not necessarily deprive the petitioner of any rights that are associated with development here. But it is worth noting that ADUs are permitted in TR, TN, and TC districts where you would also expect multi-unit structures to be situated. And so just to put that in front of the board, again, it is context specific. And if the board deems it appropriate, an ADU can be established. That's why there is a minimum of 125% in order to establish it. Again, if the board deems that it's appropriate, then it is okay to establish that. So with that, this is a view of the existing quadruplex on the lot. And looking from the lane, you can see the structure itself that is proposed to be extended upward to permit this accessory dwelling unit. Even though, again, by ordinance, a parking space would not be required here, the petitioner has suggested the possibility that a fifth parking space could possibly be accommodated. With that, MPC staff does recommend approval of the requested variance, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for staff? Thank you very much. Would the petitioner please come forward?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. For the record, Josh Yellen here today on behalf of the petitioner, 114 CS LLC. From that entity, we do have Mr. Gordon with us, who is a local resident. So just wanted to introduce him and then pull this up for everyone as well. I do want to thank you for your time today, and I do want to thank staff for the recommendation for approval here. As Mr. Morrow noted, this petition has been a long time coming. I believe that we actually met with staff in October of last year. We submitted our application for review in November. We were originally scheduled to appear before this board in December of 2023. It was then when the city realized that we need to go to HPC for a recommendation of approval first. We went to HPC in early January. They were not ready to hear the petition at that time. We were continued until the next agenda. At the next agenda, we were not on the agenda for that meeting. We came back in the February meeting, and now we are here before you now in March. So this has been a 6-month process to get here before you today. And I'm thankful that the staff recommendation throughout this entire process has not changed, that we are in fact recommended for approval to put an accessory dwelling unit behind this existing quadplex. I would state that this site is unique, and part of the reason why we think it's a great site for an accessory dwelling unit is that there is an existing carport on the property. For many of these non-conforming quadplexes around Ardsley Park, there is no parking provided. Here, in fact, even if parking was not required under the ordinance, there are currently 4 spaces, and those 4 spaces are not being eliminated by today's proposal. This was consciously planned by the architect for this, Mr. Meech Huddleston. He's been working with the city on this proposal, so our intent was to go above the carport, preserve the existing 4 spaces, which are currently in use by the tenants of the structure. We then received a request from the city, even though accessory dwelling units are not required to provide their own parking. It was, hey, can you look and see if you can fit another parking space at the rear of the site? We said, of course. And so our plans have been redesigned so that this site will now have 5 units and 5 parking spaces, something which I think is probably wholly unprecedented for similar structures in the vicinity. So we are not having any impact on parking, and this request is the minimum that is required to establish the accessory dwelling unit. I know that this is new, as Mr. Morrow mentioned, that we were probably the first application to go through HPC and then to come here today. I believe there might be another item on the agenda that's similar, but we are certainly not going to be the last. With the city's revision to the accessory dwelling unit ordinance, it now requires that every petition similar to this, which is going to be in the Ardsley Park, Chatham Crescent, Ardmore neighborhood, any protected district, must go to HPC and then come here for the variance. This ordinance was only adopted last year. It's going to be frequent, and we think that, and it came up at the HPC hearing, that these variances should be granted, that the intent of the ordinance revision to even permit this variance in the first place was to address some of the housing concerns that the city of Savannah is experiencing. Previously, you could not even entertain a variance of this sort. It was specifically made that it should be, yes, grant the variance request if you are 125% of the lot area. The Housing Coalition at the time, when they went before the city of Savannah for the ordinance, they were actually in support of not having any criteria for the ADU request, that if your lot was the appropriate lot size, then you should be permitted to build an ADU by right, because we know that there is a pressing need for housing in the city. So we do respectfully request Mr. Murrow's recommendation for approval here, because just like any other single family home in this area that is going to be requesting an ADU, we have met the criteria for a variance, and we respectfully request that you approve of the same. But I am here to answer any questions that you may have. And once again, we thank staff for the recommendation for approval.
Thank you, Mr. Yellen. Are there any questions for the petitioner? Are there any members of the public that would like to speak concerning this petition? Please come forward.
Morning.
Morning.
My name is Louisa Laird. I am the property owner at 110 East 55th Street. My house is adjacent to the property in question. And I have a very different opinion than Mr. Yellen. I don't think this is a great opportunity at all, and I appreciate the chance to speak to you about the impact I believe it will have on my property and the street. This is not about providing housing for our community. This is about adding another piece of passive income. This will affect parking on our street. It already does. I will probably need some help with the technology here, but I did add, he is already marketing the property as it is now as a short-term rental. That has changed the tenor of our street significantly already. People are, it is a revolving door. That's the front of the building. No, it's a, yes, that's to show you that he's already advertising this as a short-term rental. Put that on there. The other thing, so parking is a problem already. What I've had to contend with in the 5 years that I have owned this property is people parking, because parking is already at such a premium, there is great density on our street. We have, I think, 6 apartment units already in this one block. So it is just stunning to us as the neighbors. We're now going to add another rental in addition to what's already going on. People park, particularly the people next door who are not long-term rentals, park in front across my driveway. They did it again yesterday. Well, actually yesterday when somebody parked across my driveway with my car in the driveway was a workman who was working there, but it happens a lot. And I will, because I want to be a good neighbor and I don't like conflict with people, I will go over and knock on doors, try to find out who's blocked me in. But I've had to call the police on numerous occasions to come, and they can find the person with the cell phone. And sometimes they offer to tow the car, and I've never allowed that. You know, I wind up getting an Uber where I'm going. The street is jam-packed, and I just want us to figure out whether we can we have some limits on this. Now, this it's just enough. The other thing I want to talk about is the loss of privacy. It's unbelievable to me that I established, when I bought this property, it was pretty much a derelict property. I brought it back. It's beautiful. I love the street. I love my neighbors. It is now, even though I designed my addition so that I would have privacy from the apartment and they would have privacy from me because they're building towers over my property. Now there's going to be an addition built in the back of the property, which will look over my garden, so I'll no longer have any privacy, and will look into the back of my kitchen. So that is a big issue for me. One of the things, and do I just scroll down? What I wanted to point out when I saw it online is that the pictures you have are not accurate. The picture of the front of the building is accurate, but what you're looking at in the back of the building is not the actual property in question. It's the property 2 doors down. And the property that we're actually talking about has a huge oak tree in the lane, which will have to be butchered in order to accommodate this ADU over the carport. But that's not what you have a picture of. You have a picture of a similar property. I mean, it looks very similar, but it's not the property in question. And I am worried that you haven't had an opportunity to really look at what we're talking about where this is actually going to be built. It's in the report. That is not it. That's property 2 doors down. So, I mean, I don't know how these things are done. I don't know who submits these pictures or where this came from. And I can see how. Okay. So it could, I can understand how that could happen because it is similar, but it's also very different. It makes it look like it's got a ton of space and a ton of room. It does not. My carport and my little storage, little potting shed is adjacent to his laundry. So he will be building, those buildings will be touching each other. So this is not a representation.
Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
I don't think so.
Okay, because we got to make room for some other public comment. Thank you.
All right. Hi there. I'm Molly Taylor. I live immediately behind this facility at 111 East 54th Street. We have lived there. We own the property, my husband and I, and we have lived there for 15 years with our two children. The main issues that I want to bring up are overcrowding. It is already constantly overcrowded. Cars coming and going all the time. Trash cans are filled up. They don't put their trash cans behind their lane. They steal our trash cans. They put their garbage and recycling into our garbage and recycling. I love recycling. I think it's awesome. And I love the fact that the city does it. And they put trash in my recycling, which, as I know from the wonderful letters I get from the head of waste services in Savannah, if you combine, you're now throwing out the entire load of recycling. These people come and go. There's never been any consistency. We've never gotten to know anyone. That's clearly not his fault, but he's on a game to get more money. It is not to improve or solve housing problems in our city. Our city has serious housing problems, and Laura Lane McKinnon is here. It's awesome what the city is doing with her, but this is not the way to solve congestion or giving people more opportunity to live in the middle of the city of Savannah. There's definitely not room for 5 cars. If they already are moving their trash cans behind the neighbor's house, which is there, this picture that you're seeing right now is basically reversed of what theirs is. Theirs has the laundry and the little storage buildings on the right-hand side, if you're standing in the lane looking towards the house, and then the 5 carport slots go out across that. It is a deeply congested facility. There's barely room to walk between the carport and the house, and there's not much room between the carport and the lane. So to stick another carport plus a building above that is going to be incredibly congested. So I really would lobby that you not approve this variance, that you understand that it is well over the allowed rules for our community, and you should keep those rules. There's a reason that those rules were created in the first place. Additionally, these people don't care about the neighborhood. They are backing their cars into my bushes and breaking them all year. This is 15 years of this behavior. My husband recently had to call because someone stole our trash can. I don't know where it went. They have like 4 trash cans and recycle bins of their own. We have ours on our side. They would drag ours over to their side. It is not neighborly. These people are not adding to our community. They are not helping anyone's, quality of life, let alone, solving housing for the city of Savannah. So thank you for listening.
Thank you. Any other public comment? If you're online, use the raise your hand feature.
There's Mr. Derek Fittrell. I'm going to unmute him.
Okay, Mr. Fittrell, would you like to speak?
Can you unmute yourself?
All right, there we go. Sorry, I'm in my vehicle right now. I apologize. Can everybody hear me just fine?
Yes.
Okay. My wife and I, my family live at the corner of 101 East 54th, so in a diagonal from said unit that's being the variance is being requested for. My family has lived there since 1992, and we see an issue with the parking as well. I drive down 55th Street all the time, and it's cluttered, just like 54th Street is, just like 53rd, 52nd, every numbered block in the area. Adding more cars to that is not the answer to that issue. And one more parking spot is not going to accommodate for any guests or additional vehicles that are going to be at that unit. Furthermore, the overflow will come over to 54th. My concern is how can the owners, Mr. Yellen, the city, guarantee that these people are not going to use my property as a thoroughfare to their apartment when they park on 54th Street. You can't do it. You can't guarantee me that. So that's one reason I'm opposed to it. Another reason I'm opposed to it is the same thing like Ms. Taylor said. They're not very neighborly. I am constantly moving their trash cans out of the middle of the lane to be able to drive my vehicle down. Or my son is doing the same thing. Or my wife is doing the same thing. I know it is not the trash people because I know the trash people. I've talked to them. They're very nice and they don't do that kind of stuff. So it can only be the tenants. Lastly, you're talking about construction and you're going to basically block off a large portion of the lane for anywhere to 6 months. That's about how long construction takes in the city of Savannah. 6 months. And I'm in construction. You cannot guarantee me that every nail, screw, board, bolt will be picked up that will affect our vehicles driving up and down the lane. Not to mention, I have a 16-year-old son who's an inexperienced driver. I do not like him turning down and going down and turning onto Abercorn. You cannot see down Abercorn clearly, so I make him go down Habersham. So while they're blocking off the lane, it's going to block off ingress and egress to my property. Again, I agree with Ms. Laird. This is not to try to solve a housing issue in Savannah. This is, for passive income. And I mean, I know what I'm up against here. We're all up against and opposing this because we all know who's doing the zoning on it. So, we are highly opposed to this addition going on in the back of the house. Thank you.
Any other public comment? Come on, sir.
Good morning. I'm Jeffrey Taylor. I live at 111 East 54th Street. I did include comments that I submitted earlier when the first petition was filed in December, and those are also added to the record today. I noticed that it was attached to the PDF. We've heard a lot about behavioral issues and the management of the neighborhood with regard to the comings and goings of people. We certainly heard from Mr. Yellen of a rather arduous process that the property owners undertaken as they've evolved the project alongside the city's administration of this neighborhood. What I think is most compelling is honestly the size of the structure and the massiveness of the building that will take place in this location. The existing carport is a very lightweight. While it's similar to the one that we're looking at on screen, it is not of the same condition, and its material construction is certainly not substantial enough to entertain a second-story structure. And a second story as a living structure will be much more massive and closed building than what's currently present on the site or even what is characteristic of the block. When you go up and down the 54th, 55th Street lane, all of the outbuildings that run up and down that lane, garages and other structures that we've heard about are one-story structures. So the characteristic of the neighborhood, it will significantly be altered by this variance that you would approve.
Thank you very much, sir. Any other members of the public wish to speak? Ma'am, you've already had your time.
Can I just say, my husband is being very low-key, but he's the Dean of Building Arts at SCAD. He is an architect. He has significant experience with building structures, appropriateness on sites, and even though he won't tell you, I'm going to tell you because I think it's important that you understand where he's coming from.
Thank you. Anyone else? Mr. Yellen, would you like to rebut? Public comment?
Yes, sir. Thank you. I do want to go back.
I'd be very interested in hearing you discuss that picture.
Yes, and we also submitted additional photos. I could probably pull them up on my phone, but they were sent to the city of Savannah. I would agree with the comments from the neighbors that the existing carport is nearly identical, but oriented in the opposite direction. It's where the washer dryers for each and every unit are located, but it's flipped. It's still an existing four-car carport that's on the property. But I do want to make clear
about the tree too.
But the tree is, I believe, right here, correct? Yeah. And so these are actual plans that were drawn up by the architect. So I'm not trying to present a facade here as to the existing carport, the size of the current building, but this is as drawn by Mr. Huddleston. Here's the existing carport. It shows the existing covered area. It additionally shows the new accessory dwelling unit being smaller than the existing covered area. It shows that at the request of the city as well. I know that Mr. Futrell, I believe, who was on the line, who was concerned that residents would come from his house over here and cut through. We have proposed a walking path so that if there were a car parked on the street, despite having 5 parking spaces, that this unit would still have access, would still have a sidewalk from the street, something that is very, again, rarely seen in this area. So the comment that was made about this being short-term rentals, that is absolutely false. As the ad that you saw on the screen indicated, the stays were for 30 days or more, which is the criteria for a short-term vacation rental. Under 30 days is a STVR, that requires an STVR permit, that is not permitted in this area. Long-term tenants are considered 30 days plus, and they are 100% permitted and allowed in this area. I live further north. My neighbors with carriage houses are all doing the 30-day rentals, similar to what was proposed on that ad. There's, in fact, forums out there that you can find because they are targeting primarily construction workers and travel nurses who are here and can't commit to living in the area for a 1-year lease, 2-year lease, but they are still going to be here. They're still going to be residents. They still need a place to live. And so they are looking at 30-month renewals for their apartments. And that's still a resident. That is still a type of housing that we need and desire in this area. I am concerned about this project, this being one of the first accessory dwelling units coming before you in this conservation district, because I don't believe that any of the arguments that we are presenting today are going to be any different from the future arguments that you hear as to why we need more carriage houses, why we need to encourage these additional units at each and every parcel around the city of Savannah. I know that I've been here before you arguing for multifamily housing. Some of the arguments that I'm hearing against this single unit are the same types of arguments that we hear against every single multifamily housing project in the city, that we're not going to know our neighbors, that there's going to be increased trash, that there's going to be a parking concern. It is a fear of multifamily that I can't explain. I have multifamily coming immediately adjacent to me. I have carriage houses on my block. This is what it is. We need to be encouraging more of these units, frankly, in every single place that we can. Yes, there is a property owner here that will be making money on this. I don't believe that that's a criteria here that should be considered. Each and every new unit, someone is going to be a landlord for that. We need to increase the housing stock. And as has been mentioned by Mr. Murrow, we meet the criteria for this variance. When it was slated to be before you in December of 2023, staff report was recommendation for approval. Today, 5 months later, the staff report has remained the same. This is a recommendation for approval that despite some of the opposition that I believe that is unwarranted to this project, we nonetheless meet the criteria for approval under the ordinance. We are providing more than sufficient parking than is required under the ordinance. We are in fact providing additional parking that would not be required for any other carriage house in the area. And so because we believe that this is a good project, because this is a good location with an existing structure at the rear of the site, that we are simply going up upon, we believe, as did staff, that this is an appropriate variance and that it should be granted. And once again, happy to answer any additional questions that you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Yellen. Any questions?
Mr. Yellen. Good morning, sir.
Morning.
Would you have an issue with us making it a requirement of the variance that that additional parking space be included where it says it's possible now?
I can. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll enter into board discussion. Mrs. Jones, do you have anything you'd like to say?
It's difficult for me because I can understand what the community is saying, because we're in that same thing with building on Bull Street, where Dice is. When we talk about the affordable housing, it's not affordable to everyone. And it's difficult for me because I'm not for some of the ADUs, especially in the neighborhoods, because we are facing it. When we have to look for housing for people who not even workforce, you know, because this amount of money that you're talking about, $2,200 a month, that's not affordable for a whole lot of people, even teachers. It's hard for me to express myself because we're fighting the same thing in our neighborhood with the ADUs, and I can understand having people come in and out and you don't know who they are because you know your neighbors and the things that happen when the rentals, whether it's long-term, short-term, or in-between terms, sometimes they're not very friendly and sometimes it's an impact on our neighborhoods. So that's why it's very difficult for me to say, even though it meets the criteria, sometimes meeting the criteria is not meeting the criteria of the residents who have lived there for a while. So that's all I have to say. I'm not saying about approval or anything, because if it was up to me, I would say no.
Okay, thank you, Mrs. Jones. Mr. Plunk, do you have anything you'd like to say?
I'll only say that Mr. Yellen's point, I think, is correct in so far as this is the intent of the ordinance, as far as adding ADUs in this neighborhood. But the specific, you know, uniqueness of this lot, which sets us apart, is that most lots in this area don't already have this level of density in these neighborhoods, that, you know, you've got four units already instead of a single family house. So that's where I would say that this one is kind of a unique, that you can't necessarily compare it to every other lot in this area, and how the ordinance was intended in a predominantly single unit per lot residence area.
Thank you, Mrs. Jarrett.
My understanding is that council unanimously agreed that housing was the number one concern in the community for them. I do appreciate the issues related to neighbors and transient. I also have friends who are traveling nurses, and I know that those individuals are very respectful of the properties that they occupy, but I also know that there are a lot of students who use housing like that, and they may not be quite as friendly to the residents, but it's a complex issue. I appreciate the arguments on both sides.
Thank you, Mr. Condon. Mr. Turner.
Yes, I'll just say that I definitely understand the concerns with this almost medium-term rental, but I do think the individuals that do utilize that are essential to our communities, are essential to our city as a whole. And they do need somewhere to stay, because if they're not staying here, then they're looking for somewhere else in the city to stay. And so if we have the opportunity to supply them with some form of housing, even though it may not be the greatest solution, I do think we have to take advantage of that.
Thank you. So we've entered into board discussion. There was more comment. Mr. Cunningham, make a motion, please.
I make a motion that we accept staff recommendation and approve the variance with the addition of a required fifth parking spot.
All right. Mr. Condon has made a motion to approve staff recommendations with the addition that the extra parking space be provided. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Turner. Is there any discussion on the motion? Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
No.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
No.
All right, the motion passes, and the request is approved with conditions, or the variance is approved with conditions. Next, we're going to hear the front setback encroachment variance for 815 Bowden Street,
24-000981. All right. Mr. Chair, members of the board, this is a petition on behalf of David Cross to construct a carport that would attach to his home and extend to the front property line located at 815 Bowden Street. At this juncture, I'd like to enter the staff report into the record. In essence, the petitioner is requesting a variance from the minimum front yard setback of 20 feet in the RSF5 residential single-family zoning district. You can see this is the existing home that is situated on the lot. This is actually a combination of three RSF5 lots, I believe. So you can see kind of to its rear. This is an amalgamation of several lots, and the carport would extend in this area, touching the right-of-way. The parcel itself is about 15,000 square feet, just for some context, and it contains a 4,600 square foot single-family home constructed originally in 1948 and improved as recently as 1985. You can see that this is likely a code enforcement issue as the carport is under construction. Also, to be fair, there are several existing carports that are within the area. There are three homes that have these existing carports. One is detached and two are attached to the homes themselves. They appear to be relatively aged in construction. With that, MPC staff does recommend denial of the request. However, if the board is inclined to support it, the structure should be unenclosed in order to kind of prevent any site distance issues and to maintain consistency with the existing similar structures in the area. Happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Mr. Morrow? Would the applicant please come forward? State your name for the record.
Well, good afternoon, or is it still morning? Anyway, my name is David Cross. I stay at 815 Bowen Street, and I put in for a variance change for a carport. The area has grown. I moved there in 1976, and I got, well, nobody's business, but I got about eight kids, and I got a lot of them come up. And matter of fact, I wanted to put the carport up because I took in my mama to raise, to not to raise her, but to take care of her. And she's 97, and I have to transport her everywhere we go. And when the weather's bad and everything, and then I'm just trying to get to where when I pull in my yard, she won't get wet because it takes me a minute to get out of the car and take in the house. And also, that's about the biggest thing why I really wanted a carport in order to accommodate my family.
Thank you, sir. Is there any questions for the applicant? All right. Thank you, sir. Is any members of the public like to speak concerning this petition? Is anyone online? No, nobody's online. Well, Mr. Turner, do you have anything you'd like to say?
No.
Mr. Condon?
No, sir.
Jared?
No, sir.
Mr. Plump?
No, sir.
Mrs. Jones?
No, sir.
Would anyone like to make a motion?
I motion that we approve petitioner's request with the condition that the structure be unenclosed.
All right, is there a second to the motion?
A second.
Seconded by Mrs. Jones. So Mr. Plunk's made a motion to approve the petitioner's request with the stipulation that the structure be unenclosed. It's been seconded by Mrs. Jones. Is there any discussion on the motion? Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Okay. Motion passes, and the petitioner's request is approved with condition. Next, we're going to hear the relief from nonconformity, 402 East 57th Street, 24-001069.
All right. Hopefully, we can move through these next few with some expediency. Edward Morrow again, Mr. Chair, members of the board. This is a request to construct a wholly conforming addition to a structure that is non-conforming just by virtue of the fact that development standards have changed over time. In essence, you adopt new ordinances and many structures will become non-conforming by virtue of that adoption. And so this is one of three that appear on today's agenda. This one at 402 East 57th Street. Again, this is an overview of the home. and the petitioner is requesting to construct an addition to a home that was originally built in 1946. You can see it was originally 930 square feet, and the intent is to add on to that. The exhibit shows that the addition is going to be 662 square feet. This will only result in a 27% lot coverage ultimately. Again, the addition is conforming in every other way. With that, I'd like to enter the staff report into the record and show you briefly a site plan here to show that the constructed addition will be at the rear of the home. Staff does recommend approval of this request.
Thank you. Any questions for staff? All right, would the petitioner please come forward? State your name for the record. Mr. Morrow, is the petitioner here? Is that the gentleman that just walked out? No, okay. Is the petitioner online?
There is no one raising their hand, so I'm not sure.
Okay. You're going to make a motion?
Mm-hmm.
Please do.
Move to continue the item.
I'll second.
Mrs. Jarrett has made a motion to continue this item until next month. Is that right, next month?
Yes.
Yeah. And Mr. Plunk has seconded the motion. If there's no discussion on the motion, Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Okay, the motion passes and this item is continued until next month. Next, we're going to hear the relief from nonconformity, 215 East 65th Street, 24-000488.
All right, Mr. Chair, the facts of this particular request are substantially similar to the previous one. This is the parcel, again, located at 215 East 65th. This is a conforming addition of 321.6 square feet, 13.4 feet in width and 24 feet in length. Again, wholly conforming with all of the current development standards and just non-conforming by virtue of the fact that the ordinance changed. And so actually this is a site plan showing the existing non-conforming portion that has been in place previously. And this is what the petitioner is requesting to construct within the current setbacks. Staff does recommend approval of this request as well. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Any questions for staff? Go ahead, Mr. Condon.
Good morning, sir. What changed that these conforming additions to non-conforming houses is coming before us now? In the past, as long as the addition was conforming, then it was not necessary to obtain a variance. And I'm just curious what has sort of kicked this into place.
So as staff changes over time, just interpretation of the ordinance in different ways, I think, is likely the cause of it. We have been discussing somewhat of a gap closing measure in order to ensure that anything that is wholly conforming with current standards, as long as the thing that is causing it to be non-conforming, you know, if it's sound, if it was legally constructed and likely to have been conforming at the time of its construction, you know, these are things that we should probably just allow to go through. So.
I agree with you there. My concern is that we're sort of adding layers and expense to folks for something that traditionally has been allowed.
So absolutely.
Thank you for looking into that.
Sure.
Any other questions for staff? All right, would the petitioner please come forward?
My name is Tom Wywoody. I'm speaking with my daughter, the petitioner, Leslie.
Hey, I'm Leslie Wywoody.
And her husband, Connor. I appreciate your question about the conforming, the application for a variance for a conforming addition to a non-conforming property. We originally, you'll notice my daughter's pregnant and we have a timeline, and we were trying to put an addition on. And when we put the addition on, we wanted to also enclose the carport, which is added in 1988, and it's a 1-foot setback off the slab
off the lot line. There's about 10 feet between the lot line and the other house. And when we applied, I thought, well, we're going to have to get a variance for that. But in order to expedite this process, let's leave that off of it and just do the back conforming area, and we can avoid this process and move forward. We did get a permit issued, and as soon as we got the footings dug, we got the permit put on hold because although this portion that we are building right now does not affect the nonconforming portion of the home, because it is a nonconforming home, the entire project is looked at as requiring a variance, and that was the interpretation. So we had pulled off intent to enclose the garage or the carport, which would be an addition of three walls straight down onto the slab, no change in the conforming. We removed that and just added this to expedite the process. So we're here seeking relief on the conforming part of this non-conforming property, if that makes sense. And while we're here, we were hoping to seek approval to enclose the carport as well, to include that in the in the motion. We certainly support staff's approval and appreciate their work with us to do this. And that's pretty much where we are. I don't want to, if we have to come back for enclosing the garage, the carport, that's fine. But if, as long as we're here, if that can be added to this petition, that would be great.
Thank you, sir. Is there any questions for petitioner? I got one for Mr. Morrow myself. The part about enclosing the carport, that was not included in the application, was it?
That is correct.
So it has not had its chance to go through due process and that sort of thing, or public notice. Was that your question?
Yeah.
All right. Any members of the public any questions for the petitioner? All right. Any members of the public that would like to speak? Are there any online? Mr. Turner, do you want to say anything?
No.
Mr. Condon? Mrs. Jerry?
No, thank you.
Mr. Blunt?
Thank you.
Okay.
Mrs.
Jones? So, Mr. Morrow, getting back to that, the way I see it, I don't think we can consider the enclosure. I mean, it seems pretty straightforward, but it's certainly out of order with the process that it needs to go through.
That's correct. It would either need to, wait until the next cycle and have that added so it can be re-advertised, or it could come back as a separate application. But again, those applications are received by the city, so John can speak specifically to, additional fees and kind of the preferred method of approach.
It probably needs to come back as a separate petition.
We'll take what we can get now for expediency.
All right. Would someone like to make a motion?
Move to approve staff recommendation.
All right. Second.
Mrs. Jarrett has made a motion to approve staff recommendations. It has been seconded by Mr. Condon. Any discussion on the motion? Mrs. Jones, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mrs. Jarrett?
Yes.
All right. The motion passes, and the request is the relief for nonconformity is approved. Next, we're going to hear relief for nonconformity.
Thank
812
you.
East 31st Street, 24-000448.
All right. Mr. Chair, this is the third matter of a similar nature. Again, the petitioner is requesting relief from nonconformity to construct a conforming addition, this time at 812 East 31st Street. You can see the aerial map with the parcel lines indicated here. I'd like to enter the staff report into the record. The structure was originally built in 1915 with renovations occurring in 1985. On one side, the dwelling is situated just over 3 feet from the property line, where new zone now requires 5 feet. To look at the site plan, you can see that this is actually the encroaching portion, which is causing today's petition. So with that, staff does recommend approval. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Morrow? Thank you, sir. Would the petitioner please come forward? Is the petitioner present online?
There is someone with name Kashka Scott. I'm not sure if she...
Say the name again.
Kashka Scott.
Yeah, that's the petitioner.
All right.
Okay.
If you would, if the petitioner is online, if you please unmute yourself, we'd be glad to hear you.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I'm the general contractor, and it's basically just what we said. We're adding an addition, a conforming addition to a non-conforming property. It's in the setback with, in the, like you say, the new ZO requires 5 feet, and I think we're right at 3 feet.
Okay. Any questions for the petitioner? Okay. Thank you, sir. For the, any members of the public that would like to speak? Anyone online? No. All right. Well, Mrs. Jarrett, do you have anything you'd like to say?
No, thank you.
Mr. Evans?
Not here.
I wish they'd take his name off of here. Mr. Plunk?
No.
Mr. Condon?
No, sir.
Mr. Turner?
No.
Mrs. Jones? No. Someone like to make a motion?
I move for approval.
Mrs. Jones has made a motion to approve the request.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Condon. There's no discussion. Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
All right. The motion passes and the relief from nonconformity is granted. Next, we're going to hear variances to development standards of RSF 5 District, 1417 Newcastle Street. 24-000734.
All right. Mr. Chair, members of the board, Edward Morrow. This is a petition on behalf of James Name Gardner and Gibraltar Contracting. In essence, the petitioner leveled the existing home that was here, and this is a request to reconstruct a new home that exceeds the current allowable dimensions using much of that very same footprint. So in essence, he demoed the structure. He wants to use much of the original kind of foundation or the space that house occupied, but it goes even beyond that. So it's replacement with an improved structure, more or less. And so there are four variances that were requested in association with this construction. 3 feet were needed for relief on the left and right side for the current setback requirement of 5 feet. The front yard setback to be the average of the existing structures of the right, which in essence would have meant a 14-foot setback. 5% relief to increase the permissible lot coverage to 45%, where 40% is the maximum. And finally, a variance to permit the eaves to encroach within the required 3-foot setback from the property lines. I'd like to enter the staff report into the record. I did speak with the petitioner to kind of explain this would have been a good one to come speak with staff beforehand. The proposed site plan, one of the other issues we identified with this is that it didn't include any provisions for off-street parking, which would have been required at this location. In looking at everything, this actually is the site plan. So you can see this is the original home and its footprint, and this is what is proposed. So it's an expansion to sit in more or less the same place. The petitioner did demolish this home, and you can see that it is now sitting, and he had begun work on it. This would have been a better one just to redesign something that was conforming, given that the home was demolished. So in essence, staff does recommend denial of this request. The petitioner had stated some interest in potentially withdrawing, but I never heard back from him, so I don't know the implications at this point for withdrawal if he does need to come back and seek one or more of these same variances. But I'd just like to note if there is a decision that is made and he has not, made that, he would have a one-year requirement before coming back to request variances on this property.
So, Mr. Morrow, on the sides, the building's going to sit in the original footprint and it's expanding towards the rear?
That is correct.
Or the proposed expansion is towards the rear?
Yes, sir. I'll also note it's a non-conforming parcel within this zoning district, but that is not necessarily something that would prohibit him from constructing. So it's not a hardship. In essence, he's building a brand new structure. It can be designed within the constraints of the current development standards.
Okay. Is there any questions for Mr. Morrow?
Yeah. So to be clear, he will require, there's no parking in his site plan, but it is required there. So he would, you know, even if we were to approve him today, he would need to come back for a second variance if he's seeking to build it without parking.
That's correct.
Because that's not included in his request today.
No.
Is there any public right-of-way to the rear of this property, like an alley or lane?
There is not.
So it just adjoins someone else's property?
I do take that back. There is, but it is not accessible.
It's not accessible.
It is not something that can be traversed.
I see. All right. Any other questions for Mr. Morris?
Is the applicant here?
I was just fixing to ask about that. Okay. Would the applicant please come forward and state your name for the record? You fellas have been waiting patiently.
Very patiently. Good morning.
Good morning.
Stan Perkins and then Mr. Garner.
Okay. Yeah, James Garner. I'm the applicant. This is the architect.
We both agree that I better speak first because he's a little more direct than I am and kind of understand the process of it all sometimes. I do appreciate Mr. Condon's comments earlier about some of these non-conforming lots, but we are doing some other units in other places where the proposed addition meets the required setbacks for the new zoning, but we still have to come before the board. You know, that's kind of costly and it's kind of time consuming as well to get some of that stuff done. But on this particular property, the issue we initially ran into was we wanted to leave the 75% of the wall standing so we could just continue that entire footprint. But we applied for a demo permit because we just wanted to look at the bones of the place to see where we're at. But as opposed to some of the, just like a lot of these other older buildings, it's block. So it's not wood frame. So we're not able to just gut it and take a look at everything. So we're just removing some of the roof line, wanting to go through it. But a lot of this concrete foundation, the foundation's cracked. The walls are cracked. It's mainly in disrepair. So what we really wanted to do was continue that footprint. But as opposed to some of the other jobs, if you know, once we do X amount of percentage of new construction or reconstruction, update the plumbing, update the electrical, but they don't necessarily call for you to update the structure. So we didn't want to be one of those companies just go out there and slap three or four coats of paint on this block wall that's already wavering. So as it already is leaning, we just say, hey, let's leave the footprint of the foundation, but let's lay the walls down before they fall to the right on one house over here or to the left on the house over here. Or some kids are out there playing, which they're often doing over there on Newcastle Street inside the structure and something falls. So the intent was not to demolish it completely. The intent was to leave the wall standing 75% and then go back with the construction. But in order to make it structurally sound and livable, we at some point would certainly would have wanted to go back, redo the foundation, bring it up to the current building code, redo the structure of the entire building, bring it up to the current existing building codes. So although we may not be able to go back with that existing 2-foot footprint, we would like some leniency on being able to give them more usable, livable house space. The initial footprint was only like maybe 1,050 square feet. So we want to add some to the rear. And if we could maintain that existing 2-foot or bring it in some, we would at least like to get that up to 1,200-1,300 square feet. We're just mainly focused on trying to build a quality, affordable housing, but we also want it to be structurally sound so that it's here long after we're gone. So that's kind of where we are. And we would love for that lane back there to be open. It seems like it should be accessible, but it's not. Maybe it's just mainly a utility lane or something. So most of the lots over there are off-street parking. You don't see a lot of houses with off-street parking over there. So that's kind of why we didn't propose it in our drawings, and what we just figured would be on-street parking like everyone else. Want to speak?
No,
I'm all right,
happy to propose any questions, but sure, we could definitely get some leniency on those setbacks if we can't go back with that existing footprint, but we will certainly, at some point, our thought process, we're going to have to redo this foundation anyway. A new concrete foundation built to code, rebar, structure, everything. So that existing structure as it was just wasn't going to hold up and withstand, you know, these 130 mile per hour winds we're talking about. We may have some point in the future. So that's what we wanted to do, is make something structurally sound and affordable.
Thank you. Any questions? Go ahead, Mr. Long.
Yeah. So you yourself brought up the issues with duplicating costs and, you know, kind of having, you know, bureaucratic issues, you know, on top of each other. It looks like to me that you're going to have a second variance request for no parking, since there's no parking included in your plan. I would suggest that it may behoove you to, rather than have to come back and pay a second fee and everything, you may want to pull today, add on the parking, because regardless of what happens today, you're going to have to come back, and that'll be a whole second payment you make to come request parking relief from us. That right. might also give you time to kind of work with staff and maybe meet them in the middle in a way that when you come back, you have their recommendation of approval instead of their right. recommendation of denial. You can do whatever you want. I can't tell you how today's vote's going to go one way or the other, but right. that's just my personal recommendation that save you some money, save you some time, hopefully.
Okay. Excellent.
Any other questions for petitioner? Mr. Conner?
Along with what Mr. Plunk said, my very smart friend over there, the other thing I'd like you to consider, I'm familiar with Newcastle. I know that neighborhood pretty well. And because of the density there and the proximity of the houses, it may actually behoove you to try and fit within the NUZO setbacks. Because the issue that if you're going to resell the property, the issue that you're going to have is that, you know, you've again got approximately 4 feet between these houses.
Right.
And so I think it presents better. You have more light into the houses and so on. If you think about the reason NUZO exists, and John really did a great job earlier in the meeting to talk about this, is to try and make sure that we've got air and light in between houses. It's an important thing for quality of life. And so you might just consider that with your final plan. I think for today's purposes, request a continuance and then come back. And the plan that you should have, I think, probably should just fit within the setbacks if you can do it. And then you just maybe need an overhang variance, if you
right.
see what I'm saying, just to give yourself that quality of life for the unit. And it may turn out that when you just take that foot off of each side to fit where you're supposed to be, you might fall within that 40% instead of 45%.
Right, right.
So that's, again, you know, that's my 3 cents on the 2 cents that my friend just interjected. And now we get a nickel. Yeah.
Any other questions?
So maybe a quick question for John then. So John, if we come back and we say we're going to sit on that 5 foot setback there, do we need a variance for the eve then, or is the 5 foot setback to the building good enough to the building footprint?
Eaves are allowed to encroach into the side setback as long as they are at least 3 feet from the property boundary. So you've got right. 2 feet to work with.
Yeah, we still have that easily. Okay. So my next question is, which is probably a pretty easy one as well for the staff and for Mr. Morrow as well. So we go in, we redesign the home, we come into the 5 foot setbacks, we do the parking, but is there a need for us to come back before the board just for parking? If we just pull the entire thing, put the setbacks in, submit a parking permit plan to the city, submit the plans to the board review and to John and zoning, 5 foot setbacks, we don't need an encroachment on the eave overhang, we've got the driveway in, so there's no need to come back then, correct?
With the rear, it's, yeah, so it's.
Right.
Yeah, as long as you maintain the rear yard setback, then you would.
Yeah, we should be fine there because we're doing the law of averages on the front of the house anyway. Right. So we should be good to go. So if we go that route and pull everything and do it, then we don't have to come back. If we go the other route, then we'll come back for the parking.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So make sure. Got everything crossed, you know, so if you do come back for the parking anyway and you need something else, you can hit it all at once.
Yes, sir. Okay. And the lot coverage?
Yeah, it's significant to note because this is super small.
Right.
40% of the yards at five is all lots at first. In a district where you can find 30.
Yes, even go with the lot coverage, you got to come back as well.
But he can amend that and hit it and cover everything in one meeting. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
But I think ultimately our plan may be just to try to tweak the home to the point where, you know, we can still do our part to revitalize the neighborhood, build the house we want to build that's affordable, but not have to come back before y'all in a month. And maybe by then we'd all have started construction, hopefully.
If you work with Mr. Morrow and John,
you'll
find that you won't need to come back. You'll have a building permit for you.
Yeah, they've been great. Mr. Morrow's been great. John's been great. And I don't know why Mr. Butler's not retired yet, Tom, but maybe he will. He's been great over the years also. I've known him a long time. So
am I correct to assume that you're requesting a continuance?
Yeah. Yes, sir. Right. And then we'll discuss that with Mr. Morrow, whether we decide to pull it or not at some point. Right. So we are requesting a continuance.
So did I hear a motion to continue this?
Make a motion that we continue this for until the next meeting.
Until the next meeting. Okay. Mr. Conan has made a motion to continue this at the petitioner's request until the next meeting. It's been seconded by Mrs. Jones. Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
All right. Motion passes and the request is continued. Next, we're going to hear the accessory structure setback variances for 315 East 56th Street, 24-001075.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, this is a request from Tara Garrigan and Sean Keith in relation to a proposal to develop some accessory structures, an accessory structure in an ADU, 505 East 65th Street. And the petitioner is requesting a 114 square foot increase to 504 square feet total to the maximum permissible floor area for an accessory structure. And a permit to allow an accessory structure to exceed the height of the principal building in a residential zoning district. We can see the subject parcel here at 505 East 65th Street outlined in yellow. This is a home that was constructed in 1950, and it reflects updates and modifications that date back to 1980. And it is a 975 square foot home. So again, this is in the interest of staff understands creating more, a little bit of living space and a lot more storage space, it seems. The proposed garage, 504 square feet in area, will be required to meet the 5 foot side setbacks. Also, the parcel is in excess of the 125% square foot minimum to establish an ADU on the lot. So that's not an issue today. Addition of these ADU and the accessory structure will not put this lot over its permissible lot coverage. I'd like to enter the staff report into the record. This is kind of a sketch-up model of the proposed structures. You can see the garage here with the loft above and an outdoor area. And then this is the ADU, if I'm not mistaken. And with that, staff does recommend approval of these requested variances.
Thank you, Mr. Morrow. Are there any questions for staff? Okay, thank you. Would the petitioner please come forward?
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
So what we're looking to do here.
You could please state your name for the record.
I'm sorry. My name is Tara Garrigan, and I'm with architect Joy Reno.
I'm Joy Reno.
Okay, so the request for the variance is based on the height and the little bit of the out the patio, the roof coverage. So what we're looking for here is basically just more workspace. I've run a business from home and it's growing, which is great. And I'd like to be able to have more room to expand that and to work with people sometimes coming to the space instead of to my home. That's what we're looking at.
And to clarify the overage and the square footage, the actual footprints of the two buildings meet the required square footage. It's the overhang of the porch and also the loft space within the floor plan of the garage itself. That square footage, even though it doesn't increase the footprint on the property, it is included in the, 40% maximum. And then the height, their sweet home is just over 14 feet in overall height. So in order to get that loft space and garage door clearance, we're requesting a variance in the overall height.
So, this in the drawing here, this structure just in the forefront, that is the addition, correct?
So there are two structures we're proposing. The one with the overhang, the side porch, that is a garage. Within the garage space is a loft. which that's a requirement for the additional height. The code requires a minimum, I think it's 6'8" or 7' head height for an upper level. And then the building to the right is the ADU.
Okay, and the primary structure on the lot, is it exceed the height of this one with the lot, with the loft?
No, the primary structure is only 14 feet high.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, Mr. Morrow, will they not need a variance for that? Is that?
I was dealing with another matter.
So the height of this building with the loft here exceeds the height of the primary structure.
That is the first variance
request. Okay.
So the two variances requested, okay. Well, actually, it's the second one, to permit an accessory structure to exceed the height of the principal. And again, the other one is for the size, to allow it to be in excess of what's permissible, the 40%. So.
Hmm. And there's no way around that as far as the design, because you've got to meet the code for both levels of that. Yeah. All right. Is there any questions for the petitioner? That's what I think. That's what I understand. You might want to ask Mr. Morrow if you need some clarifications.
Just for the record, Mr. Morrow, they do not need a variance for the ADU. It's just for the garage unit.
That is correct. Both of these are in association with the garage.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions for the petitioner? Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Any members of the public like to speak concerning this petition? If you're online, please use the raise your hand feature. We'll recognize you. All right. Mrs. Jones, would you like to say anything?
No.
Mr. Turner?
No.
Mr. Condon?
No, sir.
Mr. Plunk?
No, sir.
Mrs. Jared?
I'm a little uncomfortable with the height, but, No, other than that, no.
Okay. Would someone care to make a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Okay. Mrs. Jones has made a motion to approve the request, seconded by Mr. Turner. Is there any discussion? Okay. Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
No.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Okay, the motion passes and the request for variances is approved. Next, we're going to hear accessory structure variances for 505 East 65th Street, 24-001070. Yeah.
I'm so sorry, sir. Actually, I think we have moved on to item number 17, if I'm not mistaken.
No, we're on 16.
315. Did we ever do 315?
That wasn't 315.
We skipped over 15. Thank you, sir.
We skipped 15. Okay. That's what happened. Okay.
Wait a minute.
We just did 315.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, 14 was Newcastle. 15 was 315 East 56th Street,
mm-hmm.
And now we're on 16, 505 East 65th.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just heard that.
Oh, boy. We just did 5. Okay. All right. Yeah. Excuse me.
Well, they must be switched around then.
Yeah, because.
Because, 15
I guess,
was 315.
Yeah, I got my stack of papers here mixed
16
up.
Okay. 505.
Or either I got a duplicate.
The agenda was republished, so perhaps there was that's an older copy or. Okay. Okay.
So.
Oh.
Yeah, I think it was mixed up in my stack, maybe.
Okay.
So. Let's start over. We're going to do the accessory structure setback variances for 315 East 56th Street, 24-001075.
Excellent. Mr. Chair, this is a request by John and Amber Keon to, in essence, construct an accessory structure in their rear yard, and it would require two variances to required setbacks in order to establish this accessory structure. The first one, they would like to place it at 4 feet. Sorry, they need 4 feet of relief from the side yard setback requirement of 5 feet. And for the other, they need 1 foot of relief from the rear yard setback adjoining 56th Street Lane. And so you can see the subject parcel outlined in yellow here, and this is the lane. And I believe about where my cursor is the intended location of the accessory structure, more or less, right here. I'd like to enter the staff report into the record. This is a conforming parcel within the RSF6 zoning district. The original dwelling was constructed in 1935, and it does reflect updates and modifications dating back to the 80s. A rear left addition not within the scope of this petition may have a non-conforming side setback. But again, this is not a request to expand a non-conforming addition, so that's why that's not addressed here. The proposed site plan does indicate the intent to site a freestanding shed that is 500 square feet in area, measuring 20 feet by 25 feet, with a rear setback of 4 feet off of East 56th Lane, and a side setback of 1 foot on an interior side. Here is the proposed kind of layout of the site. I will zoom out just a little so that you can see with the proposed accessory building here, and this is the home. With that, staff does recommend approval of the requested variances for relief from side and rear setbacks. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions for staff? Thank you, Mr. Morrow. Would the petitioner please come forward?
Morning.
Good morning.
My name is John Keon. I'm the homeowner.
Mr. Keon, is there anything you'd like to say?
No, I think you covered it pretty well. It will be a garage. We'll be accessing through the alley. Not sure if that was actually on there, I should have put that on there, if that makes a difference. But
I was actually going to ask if it was accessible.
It will be. Yes, sir.
Are there any questions for the petitioner? Okay. Well, thank you very much, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Are there any members of the public that would like to speak? If you're online, use the raise your hand feature. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Jarrett, do you have anything you'd like to say?
No, thank you.
Mr. Plunk?
No.
Mr. Condon?
No, sir.
Mr. Turner?
No.
Mrs. Jones?
No.
Would someone like to make a motion?
I motion that we approve.
Second.
Okay. Mr. Turner has made a motion to approve. Seconded by Mrs. Jones. Is there any discussion on the motion? Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
All right. The motion passes and the request is approved. Now, we're on item 17. If I agree. Okay. All right. Non-conforming expansion of a dwelling. 211 East 55th Street, 24-001072.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, this one and actually the next petition are ones that I should have put with the conforming expansions of non-conforming, just for kind of that contrast effect. So what we're going to see in these next two petitions are actually expansions of structures that have been around for quite a while. I think both of them are in conservation districts where it makes sense to request a variance in order to extend a wall in a way that, you know, it already exists and not necessarily add something else just by nature of what's requested to be done. So with that, this is a request by Michael and Krista Roach for a non-conforming expansion at 211 East 55th Street. And the petitioner is requesting relief from the required side setback of 5 feet for an existing non-conforming dwelling in the RSF6 zoning district. And this is with the intent to improve the dwelling in a manner requiring a minor expansion of that non-conformity. And it's the extension of an existing wall to permit improvements to one of the home's bedrooms. And so you can see the property right here off of East 55th Street.
I'd like to enter the staff report into the record. This is a 5,400 square foot lot, and it is a non-conforming parcel in the RSF 6 zoning district with only 45 feet of frontage. It's within the Ardmore Conservation District. The home on the lot is 1,454 square feet, constructed in 1923, with modifications and updates as recently as the year 2000. The submitted floor plan indicates that the encroaching wall and the non-conforming expansion lies approximately 1 foot inside the required 5 foot side yard setback. And this is going to be, again, an expansion of a bedroom and a continuation of the existing footprint of the home. So again, does not comport with current requirements, but requested for the purpose of expanding the structure in a way that it just makes sense to do so, so that there's not kind of an inset in a bedroom wall, in essence. I am going to jump down to the site plan just so that we can see that this is the entirety of the proposed expansion, and the offending portion is just this area outlined by the red box here. And so you can see it's like half of the structure, and then it seems that that's a wall. So not actually a lot of living space within this. It's a fairly insignificant amount of the structure itself. But nonetheless, this is the encroachment. So with that, staff does recommend approval, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Mr. Morrow?
Sorry for my confusion, sir. The area in blue exists.
It does not. That is the proposed expansion.
Okay, so that entire area is to be, and it slides because it wants to line up to be true to the historic nature of the home. It wants to line up with the other piece of it, which puts it in the setback.
Exactly.
Thank
you very much. The blue portion is conforming. Only the hatched portion is non-conforming.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. Morrow? Thank you, sir. Would the petitioner please come forward? State your name for the record.
Good afternoon. My name is Michael Roach. I'm the homeowner. Always want to start off with just appreciate, you know, staff's help and getting to this point. Appreciate y'all's time in doing this. We love our Craftsman bungalow. Definitely want it to be able to expand that to, you know, be able to grow with our family. And so we just had this 10-foot expansion that we'd like to add on. Obviously the house is a existing non-conforming structure. I like to think the property line probably encroached on us more than we encroached on it. It's been around over 100 years. So definitely thank y'all. Appreciate staff's recommendation for approval and hope you guys agree. The one point of clarification, I do want to make sure I know how thorough John and his staff are. I know in our layout, we show the wall encroachment. Obviously, being true to the historic nature of the home, we want to expand and being a Craftsman bungalow, it's got, you know, solid overhanging eaves. And so the expansion and the encroachment would include the house, the structure, and the same eave line as well.
Thank you, sir. Any questions for the petitioner? Appreciate it. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak? Any online? Mrs. Jarrett, do you have anything you'd like to say?
No, thank you.
Mr. Plunk?
No, sir.
Mr. Condon?
No, sir.
Mr. Turner?
No, thank you.
Mrs. Jones?
No, sir.
Someone care to make a motion?
I make a motion that we accept staff recommendation and approve the variance request.
Second.
All right, Mr. Condon has made a motion to accept staff recommendations for approval for requested relief, seconded by Mr. Plunk. There's no discussion on the motion. Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Okay, the motion passes and the relief is granted. Next, we're going to hear number 19 on the agenda, flagpole and flag variance request for 100 Landmark Boulevard, 24-001088.
No. 18.
Item number 18.
Yes, excuse me. We're not going to hear 19 yet. We're going to hear 18. The non-conforming expansion of a dwelling, 431 East 53rd Street, 24-001077.
Okay, awesome.
Miss Mary's going to have to listen to these three times to figure them out once you listen to the recording.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, this is a request by Yaroslav and Petra Sinkel to, in essence, construct a non-conforming addition to their existing home in the Ardmore Conservation District at 431 East 53rd Street. The petitioner is requesting relief from the required 5-foot setback for an existing non-conforming dwelling, as they intend to improve the dwelling in a manner that would naturally require the minor expansion of the non-conformity to extend a wall to permit improvements to the home's kitchen on the first floor and bedroom on the second floor. I'd like to enter the staff report into the record. This is a conforming parcel within the RSF6 zoning district, again, in the Ardmore Conservation District, home built in 1945, with updates and modifications as recently as 1990. The proposed site plan indicates an intent to renovate the home, including the extension of a wall that currently sits approximately 4.25 feet from the western property line. So in essence, we're talking about less than 1 foot that is requested here. And the proposed expansion is not going to cause the home to exceed permissible lot coverage. Just to show again, this is the submitted site plan. And you can see the yellow portion is the existing area of the home. All of this that is in black and white hatching is an addition that is conforming. Only the red hatched portion is non-conforming. Again, less than 1 foot in this case. NMPC staff does recommend approval. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Is there any questions for Mr. Morrow? Okay. Ms. Petra, would you like to come forward? State your name for the record.
Yes. Good afternoon. I am Petra Cenko, and I am owner of this house. And my husband and I, we would like to add an addition, which is 10 feet and 8 inches. And we would like to request the variance.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the petitioner? Any members of the public that would like to speak? Okay. Ms. Jarrett, do you have anything you'd like to add?
No, thank you.
Mr. Plunk?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Condon?
No, sir.
Mr. Turner?
No, sir.
Mrs. Jones?
Not at this time.
Would someone like to make a motion?
I make a motion that we accept staff recommendation of approval for the variance.
Second.
All right, Mr. Condon has made a motion to accept staff recommendations for approval. It's been seconded by Mr. Plunk. If there's no discussion, Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
All right, the motion passes and variance is approved. Next, we're going to hear 19, the flagpole and flag variance request for 100 Landmark Boulevard, 24-0010088.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, this is Edward Morrow. I would like to take this opportunity to introduce someone that I'm not quite sure you've been introduced to. This is Subashi, our newest addition to development services. I am not going to attempt to pronounce her name so as to pay her deep respect. I'm sorry. But she will let you know how it is spelled. Nonetheless, this is Subashi presenting to you all for the first time. So.
Good afternoon, Chair and the board and everybody here. I am Subashi Karunaratne. Don't try to attempt, just pronounce. I'm going to present the staff report requested by Joan DiNorto for the property 100 Landmark Boulevard West. And the subject property you can see here is located at 100 Landmark Boulevard, West Savannah, is on the northwest corner of Western Park, Veterans Parkway and Landmark Boulevard. The parcel was annexed into the city of Savannah from Chatham County in September 2021, and a zoning classification of manufacturing was obtained. The future land use designation of the parcel is light industrial. The property is owned by the Savannah Economic Development Authority, which leases the property to Capital Development Partners, Inc., or its affiliate CDP, and they're planning to build approximately 1.5 billion square foot of warehouse on the property, and the petitioner requests a variance of maximum flagpole height, supporting base in excess of 5 feet and flag size regulated by the sections 8.7.8 respectively. The issue is that the petitioner plans to install these oversized flagpole right here in the southeastern corner of the property and to fly an oversized American flag, both of which exceeds the size limits set by the Savannah zoning ordinance. The petitioner believes this will complement the property scale as the largest warehouse in Chatham County and location near Veterans Parkway. Additionally, the petitioner believes the proposed flagpole size will match the nearby light poles at the intersection of Veterans Parkway and Landmark Boulevard, which are 100 feet tall. To erect and fly the intended flagpole and the flag, the petitioner requires a variance granted to exceed the maximum flagpole height permitted under Savannah Zoning Ordinance, Section 7.8.7.8, which is 60 feet, with an additional 5 feet permitted for the flagpole base and the maximum size of any flag flown, 96 square feet. Additionally, the petitioner would require a variance for the maximum proportionality of the flag dimensions permitted by the Savannah Zoning Ordinance, Section 8.7.8, which states that the hoist side of the flag should not exceed 20% of the vertical height of the pole. Given that, the petitioner requests for an additional 60 feet in overall height above the ground for the flagpole by Veterans Parkway for a total flagpole height of 120 feet above the ground and an additional 7 feet of overall depth below the ground for the flagpole embedment for a total embedment depth of 12 feet below the ground. For the flag, they request for an additional 1,704 square feet of area for the flag by Veterans Parkway for additional for a total of 1,800 square feet and an additional 5% proportionality for the hoist side dimension of the flag for a total of 25% proportionality. And the staff finds that the requested variances are not likely to be detrimental to the public health or welfare of the community. The petitioner has included relevant design data and Federal Aviation Administration determination of no hazard to air travel in support of the request. However, it may pose a danger to public safety if the flagpole and the flag are not adequately maintained. The requested variance, if approved, would, though, be patently in excess of what would otherwise be permitted by the ordinance. The subject property and the proposed warehouse are significantly large in the size and would hold the title of the largest warehouse in the Chatham County once completed, according to the petitioner. These facts, however, do not constitute a hardship. This condition is a result of the actions of the applicant. The applicant would not have a direct financial benefit from the requested variance if approved. The literal interpretation of the regulations would not injure the applicant or otherwise deny or grant them privileges commonly enjoyed by the other property owners. The variance itself sought can fairly be viewed as excessive but not egregious. The variance is not required for reasonable use of the property. A flag meeting the standards of the ordinance may be installed. The variance, if granted, would appear to confer a special privilege that is denied to similar properties. However, the property owner have the right to and ability to seek variance relief where necessary or desired. With that, the staff, based on the above, upon the variance criteria, the staff recommends approval of the requested variance pertaining to the proposed flagpole to permit an additional 60 feet and to permit an additional 7 feet to the embedment to the 12 feet below the ground, with the conditions of conducting a comprehensive geotechnical survey to verify the assumed soil capacity values, which form the basis of the submitted engineering design calculations, implement proper maintenance practices for the flag and the flagpole, both before and after storm conditions to ensure stability, ensure prior notice will be given to the Federal Aviation Administration if temporary construction equipment such as cranes, derricks, etc., to be used during the construction of the structure will exceed the overall height restrictions. The staff also recommends approval of the requested variances as it relates to the flag, an additional 1,704 square feet of area for the flag by Veterans Parkway for a total of 1,800 square feet, and an additional 5% proportionality to the hoist side for a total of 25%, with the conditions that the above conditions for the flag will be met. Thank you, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Is there any questions for staff? Go ahead, Ms. Jared.
Is this going to be an American flag?
Worth asking.
I thought it was stated. It
wasn't. Yes, it is an American flag.
Thank you.
Any other questions for staff? Good question. Would the petitioner please come forward?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. My name is John Northup. I'm an attorney with Bowen Falligan, and I'm here this afternoon and this morning on behalf of Capital Development Partners. I think. And I'm going to have to ask you to spell it because I'm going to have to learn it at some point anyway. So it's K-A-R-U-N-A-R-A-T-H-N-E. Karamantha? Can I just say Ms. Tsubashi for now, and I promise I'll try to learn it. Ms. Tsubashi portrayed everything very accurately. Essentially, what we are proposing is we'd like to put up a very big American flag that's consistent with the scale of this development. You all are probably very familiar with this development. It's the Rockingham Farms Industrial Complex. It's over off of Veterans Parkway. It's owned by CETA. CETA passed bonds. Portions of it are leased to my client, and we are currently building and are actually kind of pretty close to finishing the construction of what will end up being the biggest warehouse in Chatham County. It's 1.5 million square feet. And the reason that we are seeking this variance and would like to put up this flagpole is really just because we think it's a very high visibility area, and it's just a great spot for it. I can think of three other places in town that have flags kind of like this. Since I was a kid, I think there's been one that flies over. It's either J.C. Lewis Ford or Dan Baden. I can't remember which. And then I think there are two others. There's one on 204 next to the flooring store. And then more recently, there's one right where the Truman ends onto Abercorn. There's that park. That's kind of what we're talking about. We first started talking about this and looked at what the ordinance allows, and the ordinance allows, a much smaller flagpole. We thought that aside from just asking for the variance, there were a couple issues that we wanted to take into consideration. The first one was we wanted to make sure it didn't impede any of the aviation, especially with regard to Hunter, because Hunter's not too far away. We actually contacted the FAA, and I've submitted with the application a letter that we got back from the FAA, which says this is not a hazard to aviation. We should be fine there. They're on board with everything. CETA is on board with this. The specific asks that we are making here, as Ms. Tsubashi correctly portrayed, is we're asking for an increase from the standard of 60 feet to 120 feet in height for the flagpole. The base, because it's so big, we actually have to go down a little bit farther. So we have to go down 12 feet to make sure that it's solidly anchored. The square footage of the flag is normally 96 feet. We're asking for something that's sounds like a lot bigger than that. We're asking for 1,800. Basically, we're asking for something that's roughly, so 96 square feet is roughly about 14 by 7. We're asking for 60 by 30, so about 4 times. It's a big flag, admittedly. But again, it's there because we think it's consistent with the area. And the other thing is there is a portion of the ordinance that says that the hoist side, so the shorter side of the rectangle of the flag, this part, can't exceed 20% of the total flagpole. We're asking that we have that increased to 25%. So the 30 feet of the side of the flag, the short side, would be 25% of the 120-foot height of the flagpole. The other reason that we're looking at this as being consistent, or we're considering this as consistent, is because if you look at all of the light poles that are around that interchange, those are all about 100 feet tall. We checked with Georgia Power. But they're a little bit elevated. So a lot of them are up near the deck of the interchange. So those are about 138 feet or so, or 137 feet, because those are a little bit higher. We are a little bit lower down. Our base is 17 feet. And so we think 120 feet will bring us about the same level as those. And again, we think this is consistent in a high visibility area. We're not recognizing any kind of financial benefit from this. We just think it's a great spot for this type of flag. And so that's why we are asking for these variances.
Thank you, sir.
Yep.
Any questions for the petitioner? Go ahead, Mr. Condon.
Just a 120-foot flagpole is going to sit on a 17-foot base?
No, I'm sorry. It's a 17-foot elevation at the base, and then it goes down 12 feet under the ground.
Wanted to make sure we weren't approving something that you couldn't use.
Right.
Are you amenable to the conditions set forth by the MPC?
Yes, the conditions are all fine. I meant to bring that up. I think the first condition was that we have a geotech survey done to make sure that we can go down 12 feet. We actually already had a geotech survey done, and we'll be happy to provide a copy of that to the board. The second one was that we make sure that we have proper maintenance provisions in place, especially pre and post any storms. Certainly that's something we're amenable to. And then the last thing was that we give notice to the FAA if during the construction we've got a crane up there, which we probably will, that will exceed these heights. We just notify the FAA. I think we have to do that anyway, but we're more than happy to comply with that as well.
Would you be amenable to a condition that did not allow you to fly anything other than a United States or Georgia flag?
I think that'd be fine. Okay. Our intent is a big American flag.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions for the petitioner? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Any members of the public want to speak concerning this petition? No one online? Mrs. Jarrett, would you like to say anything?
No, thank you.
Mr. Plunk?
No.
Mr. Condon?
No, sir.
Mr. Turner?
No.
Mrs. Jones?
No, sir.
Someone care to make a motion?
May I interject? Yep. John from the city. So I do notice the staff recommendation has a slight error, it looks like, in the hoist proportion. It lists the requested variance to go to a 20% proportion. I think the requested variance is to go from 20% to 25%. So I would appreciate if the motion could reflect that correction, please. Thank you.
Thank you, John. I make a motion that we accept staff recommendation for the application to increase the size of the flag proportionality from 20% to 25%. In addition, can you scroll that down? So I want to read it so we don't make any mistakes for John.
I think we're at the
for
bottom.
For part two.
There we go.
So it's part one. Thank you. Let me start from the beginning. Okay. I make a motion that we approve the variance request to permit an additional 60 feet in overall height above the ground for the flagpole to a total height of 120 feet above the ground, and to permit an additional 7 feet in overall depth below the ground for the flagpole embedment depth for a total embedment depth of 12 feet below the ground, and to allow for the increased size of the flag from 20% to 25% of the height of the flagpole. And the conditions currently as they are described in staff report, and to require that only the United States flag or the flag of the state of Georgia may fly on the pole.
Okay. Mr. Condon has made a rather lengthy motion to increase the flagpole base as.
Sorry, sir. If I could, sorry to cut you off. Just wanted to add under this condition number one right here about the total area of the flag, the increase from 96 to 1,800 square feet.
I'd like to modify my proposal to add the total area of the flag could be up to 1,800 square feet.
Okay.
I'll second as long as I don't have to repeat.
Okay. So Mr. Condon has made a motion to approve staff recommendations, which will increase the square footage of the flag up to 1,800 square feet, and the hoist area up to from 20 to 25%, with the conditions recommended by staff and the additional condition that the only the American flag or state flag of Georgia be flown on this edifice here. Is there any discussion on this motion? All right, Mrs. Jones, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
And Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Okay, the motion passes and the request is approved with conditions. And lastly, we're going to hear the expansion of nonconforming use, 1142 Collins Street, 0003386.
All right. We have finally reached the end of our marathon. Mr. Chair, members of the board, this is Edward Morrow again. This is an interesting item in that staff is, in essence, asking for concurrence on a matter. This is a petition to expand an existing daycare at 1142 Collins Street. This is the home. Just want to make sure. This is the home. This gray area that you're seeing is the existing structure that was approved for use as a daycare. I believe it back in 1996 or 97. And at that time, it was approved to serve up to 21 children locally. Since then, a state permit has been issued to serve 16 children. That is not in question today. There is no request on the part of the petitioner to increase those numbers or modify them in any way. The use is intended to remain exactly the same. The reason that you're seeing this is because the petitioner has submitted plans to build an addition onto this existing daycare center. And this is the addition right here that you are seeing. Please make note of the fact that it looks like a residential expansion to this structure. In looking at the regulations regarding nonconforming uses and structures, the ordinance does state that a nonconforming structure can be enlarged, maintained, repaired, or altered in accordance with the requirements of Section 3.24. When we look at this particular item, and again, on this kind of path of determining what requires a variance and what would not, these are the ordinance stipulated changes that would require action on the part of this board. Change of a nonconforming use, reestablishment of a nonconforming use, expansion of a nonconforming use, or reconstruction of a nonconforming structure. This particular request does not fall into any of these categories. And so it's staff's contention that this is, in essence, in accord with the original board approval at that time, which I'll show you in just a second. And again, we're just asking for concurrence. You can see this is what was approved by staff, recommended by staff for approval and approved by the ZBA. Number one is the most relevant thing here. It says that the facade of the subject building shall maintain a residential character. As you have seen, it is consistent. And again, I am putting this before you for in essence, concurrence that this is consistent with the original ZBA approval back in 97, June 25th, 97. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Morrow. Do you have any questions for Mr. Morrow? And just so everybody's clear, they just want to make an addition to the building. The use stays the same. Oh, it's always been. So is the petitioner here?
Yes, sir, she is.
Good morning, Chair.
Morning.
Good morning,
Congressman. My name is Nanette Rivers. That's my property, 1142 Collins Creek, where I've been running my daycare center from since 97. And I was just on the request of the variance to add on for teach for the staff where we can like do their lessons and they can have like a little lounge to some sort of more space for the staff and myself.
Thank you. Is there any questions for the petitioner? Thank you very much, ma'am. Are there any members of the public that want to speak concerning this petition? Are there any online? Mrs. Jones, would you like to say anything?
Not at this time.
Mr. Turner?
No, sir.
Mr. Condon?
I think these ladies do God's work in taking care of our children, so I think it's important that we assist them in any way we can.
Mr. Plump?
No.
Will someone care to make a motion?
May I make a comment for the record, please?
What?
I'd just like to explain the position of the Planning and Urban Design Department of the city on this case. And so we have communicated to Mr. Morrow in writing three times that this is a non-conforming use. Mr. Morrow has never explained the code section that he just referenced to me or to the department director at the city, to my knowledge. He has not previously, to my knowledge, actually conveyed any code section as an explanation for why he doesn't believe this needs a variance. At one point, he was claiming it was a home daycare. So it's been very confusing to us what Mr. Morrow's intentions have been throughout this case. So the interpretation of the ordinance that is taken by the city is that this is a nonconforming use. The zoning ordinance states this was approved as a special use prior to the adoption of NUZO. The current zoning ordinance states special uses which become prohibited are nonconforming. At this point, based on that code section, this is a nonconforming daycare center. Expansion, as you can see from the page that Edward actually showed you previously, expansion of a nonconforming use to take up a larger area of land or a building requires a variance from the Zoning Board of Appeals. Mr. Morrow is not in a position to overrule the city on our interpretation of the ordinance. This board is not in a position to overrule that either unless an appeal is filed by an applicant to request an appeal to an interpretation by the city department. I don't believe it's an appropriate process at this point for this board to essentially supplant the interpretation of the city. We have a variance application from the applicant. The city does not object to the applicant's variance. The city cannot understand why Mr. Morrow has deterred the applicant from moving forward with the variance they requested and just doing the appropriate process instead of creating this strange conflict of interpretation.
Mr. Marr, would you like to address that?
I will not take the approach that we just saw, and I'll just say, if it is felt that this is necessary, staff recommends approval of a variance as is deemed necessary by city staff.
And would you mind also, if you can pull it up, the section in the ordinance that describes the authority and the purview of this board?
So we're talking about
where the section where it talks about when we hear, like, for instance, appeals to decisions by the Historic Review Board, where we act as with all the full authority that those boards have in maintaining or overturning their decisions, and which I think also covers determinations by the zoning administrator and so forth and so on. There's a little section in there about that.
So if we go to the powers of the ZBA, back out just a little so we can see more. I'm guessing this must not be the section you had in mind. Powers and duties, actually, let me go there. Oh, it's the same thing.
scroll down?
That's actually the end of that particular section, but I'll go back up. So this is the full section.
Do you mind if I ask a question?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Do we have a valid application on it for this to get a variance? I think John has a valid point, which is we don't want to step on those guys if we can go ahead with this thing. Have signs been posted, et cetera? All that's been done. So if necessary at this meeting, could we approve a variance request?
If it is your prerogative that this is consistent, again, staff does see that this seems to be in accord with what was originally approved. There's a lot that has gone on behind the scenes of this discussion. Sure. Suffice it to say, staff does believe that based on conversations that have kind of come from the city, this is consistent and no further action is needed by the board. If the board deems that it is consistent, everything has been done in order to grant a variance if you believe that it is consistent.
John, you're okay if we move forward. You agree that you just want the process.
That's right. Yeah, it just needs to go through the variance. Just needs a variance approval. That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
The use is not actually being expanded. It's the building itself that's being expanded. Or does that constitute the expansion of the nonconforming use? They're not adding children, because I've heard the argument now from both sides.
Mm-hmm. The language in the ordinance is expansion of a nonconforming use to occupy a larger area of land or a building.
So it's just a difference of opinion between the city staff and the...
Yeah, I think so. It's
interpretation.
The way that the language sounds to me is that, say, if she wanted to come forward and now she wants 40 children instead of the 20-something she's been approved of, that would be an expansion of the use, whereas she just wants to make her building bigger and keep the same number of kids she's ever had, and she's never even come up to the number that she's approved for.
If I could add a point of clarification, in the previous approval, this board applied a standard that you cannot find in the ordinance. And so going down the path of discussing this through the avenues that the ordinance itself kind of lays out, it takes you to a point where it really does not make a lot of sense. To be honest, there was a decision made by this board. In 97, that applied the state standards, which were dissimilar to the local standards. She was granted approval for 21 on the basis of the state requirements. This is not a request to have more children. Again, all of these facts remain the same. It was a house that was then converted and approved for daycare center use at 900 some odd square feet. It will now be a house that is to be used for the exact same thing at 1600 or so square feet, if that makes sense. So again, my point in all of this was just there's really no change in the facts. If it was deemed appropriate at 900 square feet, it should likely be appropriate at 1600 square feet, if that makes sense.
It makes sense.
I think it has more to do with the issuance of a building permit. I think that's where our restriction will be. Do you have a copy of the variance application?
I'm not sure if it's available here, but we would have it. Yes. Actually, I should have access to it.
I think it's plenty within our authority.
Sure.
Maybe it wasn't January, maybe it was February. Okay. So this is the application. At that time, it was approved under use 22B under the old zoning ordinance. And just to scroll through here. Uh,
And this is actually the permit that was issued at that time under which she is operating.
That's the current CO, but you want to see the application for the building permit?
Just the variance.
Variance application.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the current variance application?
That is correct. These are attachments to that application. This is the application itself.
I just want to see the description of what she's applying for.
She says the existing use is a daycare center.
Yep.
Expansion of 888 square feet of area for a teacher's lounge. This area will be utilized for teachers' break area, workstation, and training area.
Could I ask a question of the petitioner?
Absolutely.
And please come forward.
Thank you for sitting through our confusion here. I'm inclined to move forward with your variance application. The expansion of the 888 square feet, we would have in the variance a restriction that it can be only used for what is described here in your application, an area to be utilized for teacher break area, workstations, and training area. Are you all right with that restriction?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. So then has the application
been filed?
For the non-conforming use.
Signs have been posted, but we don't need that because we don't need to address the non-conforming use.
Okay, so we can just grant a variance.
Grant the variance.
I'm fine with that.
And then they can get the building permit and move on because the existing allowance for a daycare has been in place since 1997. We don't need to address that.
Right.
They've got a current license for it.
In addition to the request for variance, are we also being asked by Mr. Morrow for a concurrence with his opinion? Do we need to...
No.
I think we can grant the variance.
Just grant the variance.
Where he needs to be, and everybody else can just be happy with it or not. Yeah. So, Mr. Condon, or someone, would you like to make a motion?
I make a motion that we grant the applicant's variance request for the expansion of 888 square feet. Don't lose me, Mr. Morrow.
Sorry.
I'll start again. I make a motion that we grant the application for the expansion of 888 square feet area for teachers' lounge area. This area will be utilized for teachers' break area, workstation, and training area only, not to be used for the expansion of classrooms.
Okay. Mr. Condon has made a motion to grant a variance for the expansion of the non-conforming use for 888 square feet to be used only as the teacher's lounge and training area and not to be used for anything else. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Seconded by Mrs. Jones. Is there any discussion on this motion? All right, hearing none. Mr. Condon, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
And Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Okay, the motion passes and the variance for expansion is approved with conditions. And that's the last item. I would like to add that lunch is being provided today, and we are adjourned.